This episode is brought to you by Harry's. Harry sent me a razor starter kit recently to try, and I put it to use very quickly because I keep myself clean shaven. In fact, I pretty much shave every single day because I have lots of facial hair. It grows back very quickly, and it's also really thick, and it hurts a lot when I shave normally, with a bad razor at least. So I've been using Harry's razors for like a week now. They're very nice. It's a 5-blade razor, and I have to say, it really does effortlessly shave through my normally very annoying facial hair. It doesn't hurt one bit, no tugging, anything like that. And it stayed sharp the entire time as well. I'm very impressed so far. It also has kind of a good weight to it. It's like heavier than normal. I don't know. It's just got a good weight to it. I really like that. I didn't know I liked it before, but now I know I like it. I also really liked the shaving cream just because it smells really good. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable shaving products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of other big brands. Harry's has a customizable delivery option for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay from other big brands. Don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/otherworld. That's harrys.com/otherworld for a $3 trial set.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Otherworld. I'm your host, Jack Wagner. This is the second part of the Chicken Whackers series. If you haven't heard part one, you should go back and start there. In the last part, Keegan talked about how traveling around, hitchhiking, and sort of camping turned into him being just fully homeless. We learned about some of the dangers that you have to worry about when you're hitchhiking and living on the street. Mainly, people who go out looking to pick up vulnerable people with very bad intentions. Keegan and his friend, Grant, had both separately fled a bad situation with one of their friends and reunited by chance in Grand Junction, Colorado. After reuniting, they went to a nearby park and were freaked out by the fact that every single person they met would not stop talking about some group called the Chicken Whackers. People were warning them about this group, telling them to be careful. Keegan and Grant were very weirded out by this and decided they needed to get out of town quickly, not because they were afraid of the Chicken Whackers, but because they thought all these people they were meeting in town were super weird. So they decided to hop a train with the help of a stranger that they recently met. The story is such a weird one, I still don't know what to make of it myself, but I like the fact that it's extremely different. I also think I like that this one has paranormal aspects to the story, but there's also a lot of real-life threats and danger that exist for a person living on the street, and I think both of those things are all wrapped up together in this episode. So, let's just pick up where we left off. By the way, a heads up, this episode discusses a lot of very sensitive topics that might be difficult for certain listeners. This is episode 79. The title is The Chicken Whackers Part 2, and you're listening to Otherworld.
Hello?
Is this Bobby?
Yes, it is.
At its core, the science you can't argue with.
A story about
all of a sudden
up in the sky.
It's almost frustrating that it's happening.
I'm gonna die.
Its limbs were just like wrong.
He was just stood there.
Everybody moves back into the light, even if it takes them a minute.
the white pickup truck was driving over the tracks again that were closest to us. And there was a guy in the passenger seat, and he had the window rolled down, and he was smoking a cigarette, and I could see the cherry on his cigarette and like him hitting it. And he was looking like straight at us where we were up against the wall, like almost like it was like almost like making eye contact with him. And I was like, oh, they definitely know we're right here. At that point, that jiggy dude was just like, I gotta go, which was weird because it was like still like nothing was really going on, but he seemed kind of scared. So we just stayed there. Those cars kept going, and then it's like totally dark now. I'm looking down to my right, and like further down up against that wall, I can see like a light pointing towards me because there's still like there's a few bushes in between, but I see a light, like someone's holding like a light like right up against the wall and pointed at us. And behind that, I can see this dude back there that is... This part's, yeah, I don't know. Like, I can really vividly remember what he looked like. I could see him. It looked like he was holding a video camera. I could see his face and his head, like, in... It was, like, the backlight of the video camera, of the screen, like, shining on him, like, that blue light. And he was, like, almost bald, except he had, like, this long, stringy hair. Like a little bit of, like barely any hair, but it was really long. And it just looked super, he looked really fucking creepy. I could see him with the camera. Someone else was pointing the light at us. And then I think there was like one more person, like the shape of someone else down there. So it looked like there was at least three people, you know, for some reason they're videotaping us. I mean, what's going through my head at this point is... I'm running through what everyone has been telling me for the last 2 days about these chicken whacker people. And I'm like remembering everything that everyone has told me and kind of like, I was kind of like, fuck, this like might be like something is clearly happening. Like I was like whispering to Grant this whole time because we were just sitting there really still. Kind of not knowing what to do. For some reason, I had a feeling like if we got up, like that we were like about to be like fucking like rushed by a group of people or something. Like there was a reason why they were videotaping us and it wasn't good. Like something was going to happen. You know, it was not good. I mean, at this point, I'm thinking, I'm like, dude, what? I mean, who was that jiggy guy? Was he even a like traveler? Has he really only been here for 2 weeks? I don't know. So we essentially, I'm like whispering to Grant and I'm like, I tell him to give me his knife and I get that in my hand and I kind of just like crawl out from the wall enough to like look up and down either way. And I can't see anyone else. So we just get up, we go like around that corner and back into town. Almost immediately we're downtown, like away from that group of people at least. Like I thought I had seen someone like in a tree almost when we were like leaving the railroad tracks, but I didn't really say anything about it. At this point, we were both just like freaked out. We were spooked, but we were still kind of almost like laughing about it, trying to like make light of it. And like, I was making jokes about like these, yeah, all these fucking weirdos. Yeah, I don't know. Marty had had a really weird experience traveling with some crazy people. It was a group of people who take advantage of like travelers. And I almost thought, I was like, man, maybe this is like the same kind of people. Maybe this is who he dealt with. So we just go outside of like the downtown area and we get to like, I think it was like a car wash or something with just like a table. And we like sat there for a minute. Like at this point, we just like, our senses are like super like raised. everyone who's driving by, I think they're like watching us. Like I looked behind us and I saw someone like running and ducking behind a building, but I wasn't sure if it was related or not. But that was pretty much the point where like I was a little more freaked out and I was like, okay, let's just get out of this town. Cause like, I didn't like what was happening. We didn't say anything about, oh, is this like the chicken whackers people were talking about to us? Cause that was, I knew that was just kind of like unspoken between us. We were both thinking the same thing. Like, what the fuck? Like, is this, you know, at that point we just start walking out of the downtown area. One thing was, it seemed like there was like a group of cars that would like drive further up. It was like it was really slow. There was no one out. And then it's like a group of cars would just like drive up somewhere ahead of us. And it seemed like that almost like kept like leapfrogging us as we were walking this way out of town. We just keep walking and we're walking for a while. We cut over and we're like walking through this parking lot. And we're kind of just in an area that's like big plazas, huge parking lots. But everything's closed. It's late at night. It's empty. Like, it might have been like a Home Depot parking lot or some shit that we were walking through. But this is when, like, the first, like, weird, not normal thing happens that just really freaked me out and made me, like, not know what was happening anymore, essentially. We're walking by this tree. And like it's not a huge tree. It's pretty short, like you'd see in like a parking lot in a little median spot. And this Gatorade bottle just like falls out of the tree and hits the ground. And I was like joking, like, hey man, you dropped your Gatorade bottle. Like there was someone in the tree, like fucking like watching us. So I walk up to this tree and I look into it and I'm like maybe a yard away from this tree. And like what's looking back at me is looks like a man. It's like a man. I can see his eyes. I can see his nose, like his face. He has like a really thick beard, but it's almost like I can see through parts of him. It's like he's like not all the way there. Like you can almost see through parts of him. It seemed like it's fucking hard to explain. I don't know. It was almost like he was like part of the tree or some shit. I saw that and his face was like right there, like looking at me, like eyes, nose, mouth, like beard, like thick beard. I don't know. It was, I just didn't know what I was looking at. And he like moved up to get away from me. And that's when I walked in a spiral around to keep seeing where he was going. And he just like fucking like went in like a spiral, like up further into the tree as I walked around it. But the way he was moving in there was like, it was like he didn't make a single, like he barely made like a branch or leaf move. And his limbs were just like bending in ways that were like not that they shouldn't be bending in. And so he was almost just like silently just like getting away from me as I walked in a circle, because I was like, I didn't know what the fuck I was seeing. And I was like, okay, yeah, there's literally like people fucking with us. There's people in the fucking trees right now. Like this is real. Like I'm not just seeing shit or something. Like a Gatorade bottle just fell out. So that's why I like walk up to it, because I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to make sure I'm not crazy and I'm going to look in this fucking tree. And that's when, yeah, that's what I saw. And I know what you're thinking at this point. We're not on drugs. We're not on drugs of any kind. I know what you're thinking and what people would be thinking, because it's like it's two homeless guys. Like, obviously, they're just, like, on drugs, and I'm just seeing this shit. Which is why, I mean, it's the reason why I've been so reluctant to share this with people before in the past. Because I have shared it to, like, people who were very close to me. Like, I know when someone doesn't believe me, I don't know, that feeling of like not having people believe you, it just makes it really hard to want to say anything about it with anyone else, because I don't know what the fuck I saw. It didn't make any sense to me, but at the same time, I know what I saw. Like, I know what I was looking at, and I've taken acid before. I've been on psychedelics before. You know, I've experimented with other drugs, and this is not the kind of shit you see when you're on drugs or you're tripping. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't, like, the question has come up before if we were drugged because of like all the time I spent in that park, all the people that were around us, and like how it technically would have been possible. But it just, like, I wasn't feeling anything besides utter fear at this point. I mean, it was like my own reality slipping away, but it's like there was no other visual things going on. Like, there was no, like, lights weren't glowing more than they should. Things weren't wavy. Like, the ground wasn't breathing. Like, it was just like I saw this fucking dude in this tree, and it made no fucking sense to me, which is why I said nothing. Me and Grant really don't, like, we don't, pretty much almost no words between us this entire time, because we're both just going through, I mean, it's like a fucking, going through a fucking horror movie. So, yeah, I don't say anything to Grant about it. You know, we both saw the Gatorade bottle fall out of the tree. I was the only one who went up to the tree. We both continue walking after this. And this is when something else starts getting in my head that's like not me. It's real, it's hard to describe what it was like, but it's like, wasn't a voice. I wasn't hearing voices, but it was like something was like telling me, no matter what happened tonight, like one of us was gonna die tonight. And that the only way that I could stay alive is if I abandoned Grant and left him there and like left on my own. And it was like, either he's going to die and you can leave, or both of you are going to die, or you can stay and both of you will die. And this was like this message that was, I don't know, it was like there, it was over and over and over and over again. It was like, there was something, it's like, it's super hard to explain. I've never experienced anything like it to this day. It's a very fucking scary feeling having something like that. That's, you know, it's just like these alien thoughts in my head. I mean, there's like a physical sensation that comes with it of just like, I can remember my chest being super tight. It's like something is like coming inside you and like almost like taking a part of you. This thing, whatever it was, almost like over time was also like breaking me down mentally, like as best as it could. And it was literally just like having something separate pieces of you, tear them apart. I don't know. It's not a voice. There's no audio involved at all. It's literally like thoughts. It's like thoughts. It's like this thought that's not mine, like going through my head and telling me what's happening, telling me these things. Like, I've never had any like serious mental illness like that, like hearing voices or having thoughts that I thought weren't mine. So this is totally new to me. I don't have anything to compare it to.
And have you ever experienced anything like this ever again after?
No. You know, I've seen therapists in some form, like since I was a child, for my ADHD and like medication and shit. And I've never at any point been diagnosed with having like delusional mental health issues, like where there's been separations from reality. So we just keep walking. We just want to get out of town. we were like going to stop in Walmart real quick. This like thing in my head is telling me how much of a piece of shit I am. Like my disrespect for myself, for nature, for my dog, for like life, for like, it's like this really weird, like just attacking me on every level. So Grant comes back out and this guy comes up to us and starts talking to us. And he's also homeless. He's like, yeah, I've tried to leave like several times. Like I went and got like I've had like three different Greyhound tickets, but every time I try to leave, like something happens and I can't leave. He's like, they let me have as many sodas as I want. And I was just like, what the fuck? I just got the weirdest fucking vibe from that. He was just like, I love it here so much. Like, I'm never leaving. They let me have as many sodas as I want. And this is like a grown ass man talking about sleeping like inside like the Walmart, like the foyer or whatever. Like, he's like in there. Yeah, that guy specifically was really weird and just gave us, yeah, both of us really weird vibes. So we just kept walking. We left and we kept walking while this thing is like getting worse and worse, kind of almost louder in a sense. And we just keep walking. We keep walking west, like away from the downtown area. We come to one road that kind of goes off to the left. Looking down there, and you could see under the bridge, there were like three shadow figures. They don't look like their silhouette isn't like a regular person. If it is a person, like they're in like a cloak or something that makes like their whole figure just like one. Just like, you know, these three cloaked shadow figures standing there in the road. It was terrifying. And so, yeah, I was like, well, we're not fucking going that way. So we're walking and we're getting to like the end of the town where it's like, we keep going this way, like we're gonna be away from even like shops, stores and everything. But like we come to like another bridge and it's just darker beyond that point. Like there's no street lights. And walking closer, I start getting this like bad feeling, and like looking on the side of the road, there's these bushes and they all look like screaming human faces. And this is something that Grant saw too, I learned later. And we start getting closer to like where it gets darker, and I just start smelling like it. Smelled like raw sewage almost. It was like raw sewage and like rotten meat, like an awful smell. And which there was no explanation of like why we would be smelling that right at that spot. At this point, this is when my dog, Skinny, he freaks out and he starts pulling me in the opposite direction. And that's all me and Grant needed to be like, okay. Yeah, no, we're not fucking going this way. It's probably like 3 a.m. at this point or something. Yeah, we just turn around, we start walking back. Grant he's walking behind me. This thing, whatever this thing is like in my head the whole time, just like ripping me apart, telling me how much of a shitty person I am, like how much I've harmed the earth and shit. Seems to be coming from like, I don't know. I get the sense that at least that it's coming from the land around us is telling me that. We're walking and there's like some small trees that we walk past that have branches that are like close to us but not touching us. And Grant is right behind me and I hear him freak out like something just like snatched at him. You know, I was like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was. And we keep walking. And at this point, this is when that whatever that thing is starts getting like really bad in my head. And like, I can tell too, Grant is starting to get mentally almost like he's like not there. This is when it's like a full, like something is just ripping me apart, like who I am, like my identity, just like piece by piece by piece. And it's just, it's like the most mental anguish I have ever felt in my life. It's like, this is why I'm convinced, like this was something that was like not me, that was not, this was like something outside of me that was like fucking just like tearing me apart as a person. It, like, it was like tearing my spirit away. It was like trying to crush me, like just crush all the light in me. And this is when I stopped walking, and I literally, like, I remember I had like my hands on my head, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. I was like, I can't do this. I can't. And like, I remember like leaning over and like rocking, and like, I'm freaking the fuck out, because I'm thinking at this point, like, if this keeps happening in my head, like, I'm going to have to kill myself, like, as quickly as possible, because it's like, that's how fucking bad it is. Like, that's how, like, that's how bad whatever this thing is getting. I was reaching a breaking point. It was becoming impossible to endure. Like, it was making every single moment, it was like living fucking hell. Like, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And like, I seriously like wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Like, I wouldn't want anyone to go through what I experienced. For some reason in my head, because, you know, before this, I'm not like a spiritual person at all. I'm not religious. I was kind of like, I was an atheist for like most of my life. And like, while it was happening to me and while I was in this moment of like desperation, I thought about my grandma who had passed recently. My grandma Wanda, I like thought about her, and I was like, I knew how much love she had for me. I used to stay at her place as a kid, like, and like we'd sleep in the same bed, and every night she'd pray for everyone in the family. And like, she just had so much fucking love for everyone around her. I just switched my mind to her, and I was like, I need to like draw on that love. And like, as soon as I started thinking about her and just like focusing on that, whatever was like mentally attacking me started to let go. Once I recognize that like that is working, I get out my phone and I actually call my friend Katie. She answered, she picked up. I was like, dude, if you can just send us like good vibes. I know this sounds super fucking weird, but just like send me good energy right now. I really fucking need it. For some reason, I was like, I just have to like draw on like the like love that people have for me. And that's like the only thing that made that shit start to go away.
All right. We'll be right back after this quick break. Folks, springtime is here, and it might be time to clean out the closet and finally update your wardrobe. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the essentials for men and women, and everything is made from high-quality materials, which is very important to me. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes savings on to us. And like I mentioned, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I recently went on a little shopping spree myself. I got a chore jacket, a Mongolian cashmere cardigan, and a quilted jacket. Basically stuff that I could just throw on top of the normal old t-shirts that I wear every day to make myself look a lot more presentable and fashionable when I need to. I also got some new sheets for our bed. They have so many to choose from. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/otherworld for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/otherworld to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/otherworld.
Hi, this is Amy Poehler here to tell you about a new improvised show from Paper Kite Podcasts, the team that brought you Say More with Dr. Sheila. Check out our new parody podcast, Women Talking About Murder. It's a show about women talking about murder. Every episode features special guests, twists, turns, and the mystery of a missing co-host. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to be really bad at keeping track of my finances. A very stupid part of me believed that if I just don't look at my bank accounts and my credit card statements, the money will all still be there, even if I spent it on stupid stuff that month. Well, that's not how it works. I learned the hard way. It's quite the opposite. Usually, when I finally did look, I'd notice that there was some subscription I'd been paying for that I forgot to cancel, or I got overcharged for something and it's too late to fix. But now I use Rocket Money to keep track of all of that for me, so I don't have to worry. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you could grow your savings. Rocket Money finds all of your bills and subscriptions for you, lays them out, and gives you the option to cancel them automatically, or it can negotiate a lower price for you. I recently tested this out on my internet bill, and they were able to negotiate a lower price for me. I saved like $300 doing this. If you're like me and you get scared checking your accounts, Rocket Money might be your savior. It's nice having everything in one place and under control. I promise you're going to be very happy once you finally do it. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/otherworld. That's rocketmoney.com/otherworld.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
During all of this, Grant is getting, I don't know what's going on in his head, but he is just like he is not fucking there anymore. Like no one is home. Like, I don't know where the fuck his mind is now. I'm feeling better. We were walking past the Greyhound station and he starts talking about like, oh, we should just stop and like get, I'll just get like a ticket. A Greyhound ticket to get out of here. I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, we need to get out of here. Like, we're not staying here another minute. Like, we need to keep walking. I was thinking back to that guy we met before, the one who said he bought 3 tickets but could never actually leave. I tell him that, and he's kind of just like, okay. Like he doesn't even know what the fuck he's talking about. And he's got this dazed look in his eye, almost like a zombie or something, if you can imagine. I'm walking and we're getting close to that bridge that we have to cross over to get out of town. I'm getting to the point where like we're about to start walking over the bridge, and I turn around and Grant has turned around and is walking back into downtown for no reason. He's just like, I turn around and he's not there. And I didn't even notice that he had turned around at some point. So he's like a block away, like trying to go back into Grand Junction. And I'm like, I run over to him and I'm like, dude, no. I was like, what are you doing? And he didn't even say anything. He was just like, what? Like, and I was like, we're going this way, man. We need to get out of here. I get him with me and we're walking over the bridge. And just as we're walking over the bridge, the sun is starting to come up behind, like over the mountains. And like, we're walking over the bridge and the sun is coming up, like just peeking up, like right now over the mountains to our left. And I just felt like I could breathe. And like, we get over the bridge and we walk up a ways and it's starting to get light outside. And eventually we stop and we sit down by the side of the road because we're fucking tired. We've been walking. We walked, I don't know how many miles we walked that night, at least like 10 miles. But we sit down and Grant's like back to himself, like able to talk to me. I'm like asking him, I'm like, dude, do you remember just trying to turn around and go back into town? And he's like, not really. Like, I was like, yeah, dude, we were leaving, trying to get out of town, and you were trying to go back into town. He was just like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck was happening to me. We kind of just like sit there, kind of just take a deep breath. For some reason, it was like this fucking spell broke after we walked over that bridge, which was also like over those railroad tracks. And like, I remember that one woman talking about like, oh, I don't go over those railroad tracks or some shit. But yeah, I don't know what it was about just walking over that bridge in that moment and the sun finally coming up. And it was just like, we made it. You know, and like one of the reasons why it's so hard to share this with people and like have people understand like what I was going through, like to be very clear, I was scared for my life that whole night. I was thinking that we were not going to make it out of there. And it's hard to get that point across because it's like at no point did it seem like anyone was directly threatening our lives, but it's like that threat was definitely there. Like there was something that was trying to make us not leave. I'm still really scared. I'm still like, I kept having this image of like a pickup truck just like pulling over and people just like grabbing us and throwing us in it. Cause I was just like, I my fight or flight mode was just like, even after the experience was like very high. Mainly we were just glad to be alive. Like eventually we get out of the valley. There's like a river we find that's like wooded and we just like sit there and fucking chill and like sleep for a while. That's kind of like the debriefing point and like the point where we're like, what was that? Like that moment felt like it felt like we just went through like a fucking battle or something. We talked to this one homeless dude who's on a bike. We're like, yeah, this, like we were like followed by these fucking chicken whacker people. And he was like, oh yeah. He's like, I know all about them. And I was like, really? Well, I was like, what do you know exactly?
Okay. I need to jump in here and summarize a bit because what Keegan told me was very graphic. The man Keegan was talking to told him that the chicken whackers sexually assault and murder people as a form of sacrifice. He also mentioned, and something that seems to come up pretty commonly around the chicken whackers, is mind control, psychic attacks, or the ability to get into somebody's head. The man said that he heard about somebody who was also homeless that was at a truck stop at the time, and he heard screaming coming from the woods. This guy walked into the woods to see what was going on, and when he got into the woods, he saw a group of people wearing matching clothing in a circle with a video camera, filming themselves abusing a young man. This guy got scared and ran away. And he later told his brother about this. And the brother said, oh yeah, that was the chicken whackers. Don't bother calling the police. They won't do anything. Keegan said he also heard another story that was very similar to this. A group of people filming a sexual assault. But this one took place behind some storage units. There's a couple mentions of this group in the media, but very few. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is the only newspaper to have ever written an article mentioning this group. And it's titled simply, Question, Who Are the Chicken Whackers? Here are a couple excerpts from that article. It's very secretive, she said. If you don't know the handshake, you're not going to get any answers. And no, I don't know the handshake. The private investigator said she had never heard where the term chicken whackers came from, but stories say the group originated in the 90s and got its start dealing methamphetamine. Rumors about the group in the past range from human sacrifice to tales of psychological mind games against its perceived enemies. One member of law enforcement recently described the chicken whackers as Illuminati meets Satanism. Others see it as a boogeyman for meth users. The article also mentions an arson case where the chicken whackers came up in court. The man on trial blamed the chicken whackers for the arson. The chicken whackers were also mentioned in the transcript of a murder trial of a man who stabbed somebody 27 times in 2003. One of the witnesses testified that the defendant told him the chicken whackers killed somebody he knew and put the head on a stick. He was extremely scared of the chicken whackers before the stabbing. I was actually able to speak to the journalist who wrote that Grand Junction Sentinel article. She also seemed equally puzzled by the entire thing. She told me that if you talk to any cop in Grand Junction or anyone that's been locked up in the area, they'll know all about the chicken whackers. But outside of that, basically nobody knows what they are or who they are. She also told me that there are a few missing person cases that people commonly blame the chicken whackers for. There was also a website run by a private investigator in Grand Junction dedicated to the chicken whackers. It has since been taken down. I was not able to find or get a hold of that private investigator, and the contents of that website are not visible on the Wayback Machine. After hearing all of this stuff, I was so spun around. I mean, so much of it is very outlandish, but in terms of Keegan's personal experience, there's not really a way of looking at it where it's not terrifying. I'm sure some of you listening right now might think the shape-shifting, satanic stuff is ridiculous, and that's very understandable. But horrible stuff does happen to people living on the street all the time. They are victims of kidnapping, murder, sexual assaults, and other crimes that often go completely unreported and uninvestigated. And I just say it would be very foolish to underestimate the extent of terrible things that happen to people living on the street. It's also easy to hear this story and be like, oh, they probably got drugged and were hallucinating all of this. Even if that's true, it's really not comforting. Who secretly drugged these guys and why? That doesn't really make it any less terrifying. On a lighter note, perhaps the greatest mystery of all is why is this group even called the Chicken Whackers? What does the name mean? That's really something that I thought I would find out during all of this, but I still have no answers. I think for me, I don't know what to make of all of this, but what does strike me is how terrified Keegan is of this experience and how desperately he wants an explanation or answers about what happened to him that night.
There's not a lot that like people told me when I was in Grand Junction. There's been a lot of tidbits I've picked up over the internet. Like there's more official mentions of chicken whackers. One of them is an article written by the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel that's literally like, question, who are the chicken whackers? And that's an article, and it talks about if you lived in Mesa County for a while, you might have heard of this group of people, and that they're apparently a Satanist cult that got their start in the 1990s dealing meth and dealing in human trafficking. And there's also rumors about like something that they she calls them like a West Slope, which is like the county that they're in is a West Slope, like a cabal is a word she uses of of just like Satan worshipers who deal meth, and there's rumors of human sacrifice, and it's all just like, you know, it's the kind of shit where it's, cause it's like, we had the whole satanic panic, obviously. And it's like, anytime I've heard claims of like people being, you know, it's just shit that you don't think is ever real. So, you know, I don't know how much truth there is to it. I don't know if there is a group who call themselves the Chicken Whackers, or if that's what other people call them. The other mention of them is from a court transcript from 2003. A man was arrested for like stabbing this dude 27 times. And he stabbed the dude because it had something to do with chicken whackers is in the transcript. And he said that like his brother had just died recently too. And I think it was like, he thought that his brother, they'd murder his brother, maybe. There was some mention of heads on, like, decapitated heads on sticks. I don't know. There's more mentions that I saw on Reddit of, like this one person who was in jail with someone who said they knew what the chicken whackers were. And there's just, like, it's where you just get all these rumors, but it's like what really makes me wonder is like specifically that one dude's firsthand account, which like his Reddit account is like 3 years old. That post is from 3 years ago. Like all of these people who have mentioned this shit, like I've messaged all of them and gotten no responses from anyone. And there used to be a Chicken Whackers website that was made by a local private investigator in Grand Junction, Colorado, a woman. And she had made a website that was literally chickenwhackers.com. And that site has since been taken down. And I went on the, do you know what the Wayback Machine is? Yeah. I went on the Wayback Machine and it's like, there's only three different little records of it. And like none of them, like, I can't look at what the website actually was. It's like my friend Ian, who knows more about how the Wayback Machine works and stuff, he says that it looks like someone went back and, like, scrubbed, like personally, like, got that information taken down off of there somehow, which I don't know. It's just like, you know, hearing all these rumors really makes me think, like, if there's any truth to what they're doing, like, I don't know, you know, feels like something should be done about it.
I mean, this is a lot to wrap my head around. Like, what do you make of this? Like, if it wasn't for the fact that these guys mentioned these chicken whackers, would you have thought it had anything to do with this alleged like secret society, or what would you have thought it was? Like, what do you think it was? Like, what do you feel that it was?
So that whole valley and Grand Junction itself is called Grand Junction because that's where the Colorado River and the Gunnison River meet. So there's this huge river junction right there. And that whole valley they called like the Valley of Wandering Souls, where like specifically where the spirits of warriors wandered. I mean, what I think is that, like, there's this energy there and that it takes the form of, like, what's around it and what it's fed. And I think that, like, at some point, some people maybe got mixed up with, like, some kind of dark magic shit, and that energy has also just, like, absorbed, like, the negative, the evil shit that's happened there. All the bad stuff that we've done as humans, it's kind of like molded together somehow. I don't know. Like there was this kid just recently who like this 19-year-old kid just like stabbed this homeless dude to death in Grand Junction because he just like wanted to feel what it was like to kill someone. A lot of like weird evil shit happening for like not that big of a town. Yeah, I don't know. I think because there was a human element to what was happening that night, and then there's a supernatural element to what was happening that night. And I don't know where those two, where one starts and where the other ends, you know? I mean, I will say this, that that whole event brought me and Grant very close to each other. It was something that instantly, like, made a bond. You know, there were several points where we both could have easily left one of the others behind, and it seemed like something wanted us to do that. And instead, we stuck together. And I mean, which we had only known each other for 4 days at this point. So this is like the beginning of our friendship. Like, he is who I ended up spending like the next 2.5 years traveling the country with. Like 24/7 for 2.5 years together, traveling the whole country together after that point. Like, that was a bonding moment. That was a very like decisive moment for us. And I'll say that, and I will say that before this had happened to me, I didn't really think much about, you know, what's out there in the world as far as like spiritually speaking. And it opened my mind up to, I immediately thought, I'm like, okay, there's some really weird evil shit out there that I don't know about. But that immediately made me realize, I'm like, if that exists, there's also good, and there's some good energy out there. Honestly, it blew my mind like way open to the possibilities of the world, the spiritual possibilities. Yeah. Which is like a journey I'm still on. I'm still figuring out what that looks like for me. Yeah, I will say that, yeah. Like, towards the end of my traveling, like, what once was like something that I did out of choice, and that was like an exciting way to see the world, slowly turned into kind of a hole that I dug for myself, where I was just homeless and I had no way of figuring out how to get housing for myself. There was a point where I didn't want to be homeless anymore. And I also got very wrapped up in addiction. That's what ended up taking Grant's life when he was actually at his parents' house. He overdosed on heroin and he died. And we were supposed to meet up in like a week after that. And we were going to try to figure out getting a place together in Washington. And that just, it was not a good point in my life. And everything went downhill really quickly from there. And that eventually led to me, to me having sort of a mental breakdown. And my brother and my sister kind of coming out and picking me up and driving me back home. And I'm super lucky that I had them, that I had people who love me and care about me to be able to pretty much save my life and bring me back home. So yeah, since then, I will also say that Chandra also overdosed at some point and is no longer with us, which was really weird to me. I didn't even know she, like, we didn't have a history of using anything together. I didn't even know that she, I knew she drank, but I didn't know she was into harder stuff. And it was nice. I did see her one more time after that point before she died. And it was, she was doing really, really well. And we just happened to come across each other in this gathering out in the desert. And it was really nice to see her that time, and to see her happy. And yeah, she died like shortly after that, I think. But I mean, me for myself, what my life looks like now, I kind of came home. I came back to Central Illinois, and it took me a long time to try to reintegrate to life. Actually, exactly 1 year ago today, I came out of treatment and I got into the house I live in now, which is actually a sober living house. I live with like seven other guys here. And yeah, I've been, you know, involved in my own recovery since then. And I'm really starting to figure out, you know, kind of, you know, how to live my life, how to figure out how to find some meaning in my life without having to totally, you know, with being able to integrate with, like, you know, having a regular job and figuring out that stuff and still finding some meaning in my life. I'm still working on that. I will say, I do want to say that I really appreciate your podcast, and that since starting to listen to your podcast actually has got me rolling more recently on like a spiritual journey myself of like how important that stuff is to me, and like how I really want to, I don't know, like it's kind of opened up the world to me, because like your podcast is kind of like, you've been able to make a lot more definition to like what's out there. And like the way I see it is like all this anecdotal evidence is like, you know, it's starting to form this picture, because I've listened to all your episodes and your Patreon episodes and everything. And like, it's all starting to like form this picture that's really, it's really fascinating. And it's honestly makes me incredibly hopeful. And yeah, it's kind of been able to take that, you know, from my mind blowing open and realizing there's more spiritual stuff out there. Like, it's kind of been able to give that more of a solid form for me.
All right. Thank you so much to Keegan for sharing the story. I mentioned before that I did as much research as I could about the chicken whackers, partly to decide if I even wanted to put this episode out. One of the main things online about the chicken whackers is an article in the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, like I mentioned. I reached out so many times to that reporter over and over again without hearing back, but I finally got a hold of them, and I spoke to them about their experience researching this topic, considering that they're the only one who's ever written about it. They were hesitant about appearing on the episode and talking about this stuff, but they were okay with me putting out our conversation on the Patreon, so if you want to hear that, I'm going to be putting that out later in the week. After talking to that journalist and really sitting with this whole thing, what I think about this entire saga is that something clearly happened to Keegan and Grant that night. Homeless people are targeted all the time by bad actors that want to commit violence without getting caught. Maybe the chicken whackers and everything we've heard about them is completely real. Or maybe it's sort of a boogeyman that's been formed over the years to blame all of the terrible things that happen to homeless people. Or maybe it's a mix of both. If you were a group of people kidnapping and exploiting people off the street to do some kind of sacrifice, I think it would be very, very helpful if the stories about what you did sound too ridiculous to believe or too ridiculous to report. There's also another way of looking at it, where maybe these rumors did start on their own just as rumors, but real-life bad actors came about after the fact and used the fear and infamy to their advantage. Either way, I think something really terrifying happened to Keegan, and I know that he's been too nervous to tell many people about this, even his own brother, because of how absurd it sounds. I'm very glad that Keegan reached out to share this story, and I think it's really important to hear the experiences of people who lived on the street, because you really don't often get to hear them. This one in particular is very strange and horrifying, but I'm glad to hear that Keegan is doing good and was able to get off the street and get clean. I know the deaths of his friends were very difficult, and I'm glad to hear that he's doing better. Thank you so much to Keegan once again for sharing this story. If you want to hear that interview I did with the writer who wrote the article about the chicken whackers, you can hear that on our Patreon. This has been episode 79. The title is The Chicken Whackers Part 2, and you've been listening to Otherworld. Otherworld is executive produced and hosted by myself, Jack Wagner. Our theme song is by Coberman. The soundtrack of this episode is by North Americans. This episode was edited and engineered by Theo Schaefer. Our artwork is by Cul-de-Sac Studios. Production help by Nikki Kate Delgado and Haley Pearson. Please show us your support by subscribing, leaving a 5-star review, and telling your friends about the show. If you want to hear bonus episodes, you can become a patron at patreon.com/otherworld. Our social media is at OtherworldPod. Thank you to the team at Odyssey, J.D. Crowley, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Leah Reese-Dennis, Rob Morandi, Eric Donnelly, Matt Casey, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, and Hilary Schuff. Follow and listen to Otherworld now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, if you or somebody you know has experienced something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplained, you can send us your story at stories@otherworldpod.com.